Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? I hope that you are fine. On Saturday, I will accompany you 60 minutes ahead for today's edition on 19th January 2019. We would like to present some program started with news, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news read by Ahmad Faisal. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI, Voice of Indonesia. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Cibatu Station to be the first railway station of Railroad Reactivation Panel Program. Ministry of Tourism targets 15% of foreign tourists to ASEAN visit Indonesia. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo inspected Cibatu Garut Railroad Reactivation Panel. The inspection was done through railway from Bandung Station to Cibatu Station. President Joko Widodo to media said that Indonesian government will start the reactivation of four new railroad panels in West Java province. He also said the reactivation is done because those railroad panels have existed for a long time, but they have not been used. He explained that the reactivation aims to support tourism development in the province. Yes, we will start the reactivation for new railroad panels. Not only one, but there will be four railroad panels, including those heading to tourism areas. The panels have existed and they are connected with the tourism areas. Furthermore, Jokowi said that the government targets the reactivation to be finished in the next 2 years. He hoped the program can be achieved before the target. Cibatu Railroad Panel has stopped operation since 1983. The reactivation needs budget about 400 billion rupiah for land clearing of more than 1,500 heads of family. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has returned Siti Nur Hidayah and Matari, two Indonesians who escaped death penalty in Malaysia, to their families. The Ministry's Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, noted in a statement that both Indonesians were returned to their families on Thursday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal in Jakarta on Friday said that the government has provided counseling and advocacy for them. Siti Nur Hidayah, a woman from Brebes District of Central Java, was arrested on November 6, 2013 for carrying methamphetamine when she transited in Penang, Malaysia on her flight from Guangzhou, China. An investigation by the Indonesian Citizen Protection Team found that Nur Hidayah was a victim of fraud. During the court sessions, Nur Hidayah's lawyer presented key witness who testified that she had been defrauded. Nur Hidayah was released from all charges on November 15, 2018. Matari, a Madurese man, was arrested on December 14, 2016. In a construction project where he worked in Selangor, Malaysia, for allegedly killing a Bangladeshi. Indonesian government through Ministry of Tourism targets to attract around 50% of foreign tourists visiting the ASEAN region to enter Indonesia. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya on the sidelines of the 2019 ASEAN Tourism Forum ATF in Ha Long, Vietnam on Friday said that currently, there are only about 40% of foreign tourists visiting the ASEAN region to visit Indonesia. This means that Indonesia still has an opportunity to attract 10% of them. Arif Yahya also said that the tourism ministry has prepared a number of strategies to attract 10% of foreign tourists who have not entered Indonesia to achieve the target of 50%, namely by reactivating border tourism. ASEAN member countries agreed to encourage sustainable cooperation in a bid to create stability and prosperity in the Southeast Asian region, among others through development of the ASEAN community by increasing the millennial role. The agreement of pressing sustainable cooperation was achieved by the ASEAN foreign ministers at the ASEAN Foreign Ministers Retreat or AMM Retreat meeting in Chiang Mai, Thailand on Friday, which was also attended by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi. A written statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs received by Antara News in Jakarta on Saturday stated that ASEAN foreign ministers discussed ASEAN's work program and priorities under the leadership of Thailand in 2019, with the theme Advancing Partnership for Sustainability. For the development of the ASEAN community, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister emphasized the importance of involving the millennial roles in strengthening the community development process. It is expected to increase the sense of being part of the ASEAN community among young generations. She also emphasized that one of Indonesia's ways to enhance the awareness for the young generation and millennial is to elect ASEAN youth ambassadors every year. While battling against the plastic that has besieged its waters, Bali is preparing a bylaw that will impose a $10 levy on foreign tourists. The Bali administration has drafted a bylaw on tourist contributions for the environment and cultural preservation, which has been discussed with the Bali Legislative Council since December. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on Friday, Bali Governor Wayan Koster said the revenue from the tourist tax would be allocated to fund programs on preserving the environment and Balinese culture. A renowned tourist destination, Bali welcomed 5.7 million foreign tourists in 2017, most of whom came from China and Australia. The number was expected to exceed 6 million in 2018, in which the island province hosted international events such as annual meetings of the IMF World Bank. The Indonesian government has devised an index to measure the productivity and competitiveness of domestic manufacturers as the world enters the fourth industrial revolution, popularly called Industry 4.0. The Indonesia Industry 4.0 Readiness Index or INDI 4.0 supports a government roadmap called Making Indonesia 4.0, which was launched by President Joko Widodo in April last year. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on Friday, head of the Industry Ministry's Industrial Research and Development Agency, Ngakan Timur Antara, explained that Industrial Research and Development Agency 4.0 consisted of five main development indicators: people and culture, management and organization, products and services, factory operations, and technology. Scores for each of the indicators range from 0 to 4. The General Election Commission, or KPU, has targeted that the production of ballot papers could be started on Saturday, January 19. It would be printed by a printing company that won the tender. As quoted by RepublicaOnline.com, the Commission Chief Arif Budiman on Friday said that the General Election Commission will hold a meeting to discuss the logistics for voting. The Commission and Election Supervisory Body or Bawaslu will monitor the printing process in three areas: Jakarta, Makassar, and East Java. Budiman stressed that production of general election logistics will require tighter monitoring to avoid excessive production and to ensure the appropriate paper quality and its color. The quality must be strictly verified. The Commission will also ensure that ballot papers will reach the intended locations on time. He said that General Election Commission wants all parties to see that KPU has worked transparently. The Commission has also deployed police officers and its personnel at the printing locations. That's the news, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. The first information is that Indira Gandhi becomes Indian Prime Minister. On January 19, 1966, after the death of Indian Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri, Indira Gandhi, who was president of the Congress Party, succeeded Lal Bahadur's position as Indian Prime Minister from 19th of January 1966 to 24th of March 1977, and her second period began from 14th of January 1980 to her death. Next, on January the 19th, 1969, a Czech student committed self-immolation by burning himself as the protest against the invasion of the Soviet Union to his country and the impact of the Warsaw Pact. On August 1968, the Soviet Union invaded the Czech Republic to annihilate the democratic reform movement called the Prague Spring. Due to his self-immolation action, Jan Palach was recognized widely and to remember his sacrifice. His name was established as the name of a square in the Prague city center, a town square in Prague, and street names in several cities around the world. The last information is about the establishment of the International Military Tribunal for the Far East on January the 19th, 1946. According to the Potsdam Declaration, which was established after World War II, Japan should be given the opportunity to stop the war and stern sanctions shall be applied for those who had involved in war crimes. Regarding the establishment of law for the war crimes, the International Military Tribunal for the Far East, or also known as the Tokyo War Crimes Tribunal, was formed to try the Japanese officials who were allegedly involved in war crimes during World War II in Asia-Pacific. The trial took more than 2 years. The military tribunal tried 20 Japanese senior officials and 7 of them received death penalty. That was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bolehkah aku mendengar tersembunyi aku dan nafasku merindukanmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, that's the song entitled Sandaran Hati by Leto. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. In today's edition, I would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Indonesian Ministry of Industry is ready to run the 4 Priority Work Program 2019. Secretary General of the Ministry of Industry, Haris Munandar, in Jakarta on Monday, January the 14th, stated the program is a strategic step to build the industry and increase the contribution to the economy to be higher than its previous years. The first program is Improving Human Resources. Haris Munandar said, this year, the Indonesian government will be more focused on conducting massive vocational education and training activities. He added that the development of competent industrial human resources was carried out through competency-based industrial vocational education towards dual system, namely theory and practice, with a percentage ranging between 30 to 70%. The government also encourages the development of community polytechnics or colleges in the industrial estate and development of link and match vocational and industrial middle schools. Then, 3-in-1 system competency-based industry training was conducted, competency infrastructure development and competency certification, and industrial human resource development in preparing Industry 4.0. The second priority work program is increasing investment in the chemical, pharmaceutical, and textile industry. These three sectors are labor-intensive and capital-intensive industrial sectors. The third priority work program for this year is to introduce the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap to the world and encourage investment to improve manufacturing capabilities and digital infrastructure development. Haris Munandar cited the results of a Bank Indonesia or BI survey which mentioned the value of the Promote Manufacturing Index or PMI in the fourth quarter of last year at 51.92%. A PMI index above 50 indicates the sector is in the expansion phase. During the same period, the results of the survey of business activities in the manufacturing sector indicated an increase with a weighted net balance of 0.32% and 2.71%. The fourth priority work program is the development of new entrepreneurs. Previously, the Ministry of Industry had targeted the addition of 5,000 new entrepreneurs in the small and medium industry sector this year through a number of programs initiated by the Ministry of Industry. That was my Indonesia Today on the Ministry of Industry is ready to work on four priority programs 2019. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
That's the song entitled Kembali Untukmu, sung by Kotak. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will invite you to know more about Ethnobotany Museum. Ethnobotany is branch of plant science which learns about relationship between native tribes with plants that exist at around their environment and also how they use in daily life. The term was introduced for the first time by John William Hershberger, an American anthropologist, in 1895. Ethnobotany Museum, which is located on Jalan Insinyur Haji Juanda, number 24, at the opposite of Kebun Raya Bogor or Bogor Botanical Garden, was officially inaugurated by B.J. Habibie, who was at the time officiated as Minister of Research and Technology in 1982. The inauguration of the museum coincided with the 165th anniversary of Bogor Botanical Garden. At the museum, you can obtain a lot of knowledge about various utilization of the plants by various tribes in Indonesia. One of them is clothes of hinterland tribes in Indonesia that made from plants. The museum has collections around 1,700 stuffs which are displayed in glass room. Those collections are household goods, toys, agricultural and fishery equipment, instruments, and many others that all of the things are made from the parts of local plants. At the Ethnobotany Museum in Bogor, visitors can also see various kinds of materials of the plants from various places in Indonesia that are often used in traditional herbs, such as kencur or Kaimpferia galangal, rice, turmeric, tamarind, ginger, galangal, fennel, pulosari, sambiloto or Andrographis paniculata, and temulawak or Javanese ginger. At the exhibition area of the museum, traditional handicrafts such as hat, basket, mat, and many others are also exhibited. In addition, there is also hunting equipment, namely spear, bubu for catching fish, arrow, shield, and also typical statue of Papua. There is also luku or plow tool, which is traditional tool using by farmer to plow field. The next exhibition room contains collections of traditional looms. Traditional woven fabric is traditional craft art that still exists and popular in various places in Indonesia, although the traditional loom is substituted by machine which has high precision and productivity level. Ethnobotany Museum is open on Monday until Thursday at 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. and Friday at 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. and from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. The entrance ticket is ₹2,000. If you want to come to the museum from Jakarta, you can use your own car or ride commuter line to Bogor From Bogor Station, you ride public transportation to Kebun Raya or Bogor Botanical Garden, and you can get down in front of the entrance of Kebun Raya because the entrance of the museum is not far from the entrance of Kebun Raya Bogor. That was Indonesian Wonderful Today. I'm Putri Savitri Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, that's the song entitled Satu Hari Saja by Lucky Wija. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, we would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, welcome back to Miscellany. Two of the Indonesian teams who took part in the World University Debate Championship competition in Cape Town on December 28, 2018 until January 3, 2019 made it into the grand final and received the best speaker title for the English as foreign language category. The two Indonesian teams were the ITB A team consisting of Vincentius Michael and Ahmad Kusai and the Binus B team, namely Felix Kurniawan and Everett Agnes. They entered the grand final round along with a team from KU A from Japan and a team from Rosario B, Colombia. The grand finalists are four teams that have managed to go through nine preliminary rounds. Three students from Indonesia recorded the title of best speaker under the English as foreign language category, which was chosen from around 533 participants. According to the press statement of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the World University Debate Championship is the largest international debate competition in the world, which was started in 1981 in the format of the British parliamentary debate, consisting of eight people divided into four teams. Debates are divided into two categories, English as foreign language and English as second language. This year, this prestigious competition was attended by 276 teams from various countries of the world and held in South Africa. The British parliamentary debate format is different from the usual debate, namely four teams consisting of two people debating a motion, making them have extensive knowledge and good cooperation. According to one of the grand finalists from Indonesia, Ahmad Kusai, to face this competition, he and the teams made a number of preparations such as adding insight in discussing the topics that will appear in the competition. For this reason, they prepared themselves to read many articles from international media, such as The Economist, The Atlantic, Aeon, New York Times, and others. That was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta featuring Indonesian student achievement in the World Debate Competition. I'm Anatri Jayakasi, Voice of Indonesia.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
That's the song entitled Bukan Puisi Cinta by Opie Andaresta. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in the segment Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a song from Cheryl Shainavia. Cheryl Shainavia was born in Jakarta on December 4, 1996. The career of Cheryl, who is always accompanied by acoustic guitar, in music began in 2012 with a single entitled Demi Aku or For My Sake. Before releasing a song, Cheryl has learned music since she was a little girl. Cheryl is interested in playing guitar because she is inspired by the environmental guards around his home who often play guitar. Thus, Cheryl learns various kinds of technique in playing guitar through internet. Now here is a song by Cheryl Shainavia entitled Sebatas Teman or Just a Friend. The song, which was released in 2017, tells about private experience of Cheryl with a man. Cheryl is very close with the man, but she is not ready to establish a relation. So, Cheryl should limit her relation with him only as a friend. Well, listener, here is Cheryl Shainavia with her song entitled Sebatas Teman.
Ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Dulu ku sepi, kamu yang selalu ku cari. Dulu ku sedih, kamu yang selalu ada di sekitarku untuk merangkukku. Kini ku senang dan kamu tak ku utamakan. Kamu tersinggung, berpikir ku menghindarmu. Kamu salah,
kamu salah.
Niatku bukan begitu. Ku menjauh karena bukan kamu. Ingin ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Ku bilang rindu, tapi maaf sebatas saja dulu. Kini kau ceritakan kisah kita,
kisah kita.
Aku kau sebut dengan julukan si pemberi harapan palsu. Oh oh, lucunya cara kamu menghibur semua teman dekat dan hatimu.
Bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
When I'm up late and lonely, and I'm just down and hoping, know what I wanna hear from you. When the doubt pulls me under, and I need to recover, know what I wanna hear from you. Say, baby, say to me the words that keep me going. Yeah, I know you know them. Say, baby, say to me the words that made me hear. I love the way they feel. You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk. You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk. Say it again, cause I need it. Sounding so good, know you mean it. Some of that sweet, sweet talk to me.
When my conscience breaking and it's fitting or fishing, know what I wanna hear from you. When the clouds fill the sky up, know what I can rely on. Know what I wanna hear from you. Say, baby, say to me the words that keep me going. Yeah, I know you know it. Say, baby, say to me the words that make me heal. I love the way they feel. You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk. You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk. Say it again, cause I need it. Sounding so good, know you mean it.
Yeah, I'm feeling so stuck, gridlock. Give me some of that, sweet talk. I've been up all night, getting so blue, but here comes you to the rescue. How did you do it? I'm on that log. Gotta figure it out. I'ma be like Sherlock. Wait, I don't need to know. You don't need to show, and just keep them words flow.
Oh la, oh la, that sweet talk.
Give me some
babe.
Of that.
Oh la, oh la, that sweet talk. No one can get enough of that sweet talk, babe. Oh, love, oh, love, that sweet talk.
You give me some of that sweet, sweet talk. Sweet, you sweet give talk. Me some of that hey. Sweet, sweet talk. Say it again, cause I need it. It sounds so good, but you need it. Some of that sweet, sweet talk.
Give it to me.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kita teman dekat, sudah saling percaya. Cerita tentang kamu sudah menjadi makananku. Putus lagi, nyambung lagi, ribut lagi, baik lagi. Kau menangis di
tunggu.
Listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, and we'll give you another interesting information. Stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Instagram voice_of_Indonesia, Twitter at Voi Indonesia, and email voi@voinews.id.